You're listening to SBS News.
Tens of thousands of retail outlets, hospitality venues and beauty salons in Victoria are now able to have customers back inside their establishments. Premier Daniel Andrews says they're all well aware of the need to do business in compliance with the coronavirus rules.
Some 16,200 retail stores, 5,800 cafes and restaurants and about 1,000 beauty salons and 800 pubs can reopen their doors. They know and understand deep down that we've all got to be COVID safe to protect staff, to protect customers, to protect this fragile thing that we've all built.
To assist with any outbreaks, Victoria will be adopting QR codes and linking them to its existing contact tracing system. The Victorian government has offered repeated assurances that its contact tracing is now as good and even better than other parts of Australia. A Victorian parliamentary committee chaired by Reason MP Fiona Patten will test that claim with its own inquiry. It will provide an initial report to the Legislative Council by the 30th of November. Ms. Patten says many Victorians have lost confidence in the state's contact tracing system after the second wave of infections.
What Victorians need to know is that we have all the tools we need to ensure that we can open up safely, that our COVID normal can be as open as possible.
A final report is due by the 14th of December. Victoria reported two additional deaths from some weeks ago, which are linked to aged care, and two new cases. The two positive infections are people in isolation who were identified as close contacts of those who caught the virus in Melbourne's northern suburbs outbreak. One venue that's now able to offer seated indoor dining is the Veneto Club in Bulleen. It opened in 1973 as a venue to cater for the Italian diaspora. Commercial operations manager Chris Sire says the Veneto Club will be offering two different times for patrons at lunch and dinner.
A 5:30 sitting and a 7 o'clock sitting. So hopefully we can try and get as many people through the door as possible in a COVID-safe manner. And we're looking to be able to offer that at lunch times as well, so 11:30 sitting and a 1 o'clock sitting, and we'll just work with those restrictions as best we can.
Mr. Sire says the club had earlier begun offering a number of COVID-safe options during the pandemic, such as click and collect, but he says even members who live close by couldn't access them because of the travel restrictions.
Even some of our local community couldn't come and use any of our temporary services, and they were really feeling quite isolated. So I guess that there are some real mental health issues there that we're probably only just starting to understand. Obviously, everyone is aware of the financial impact, but there's a whole plethora of issues that we've had communicated to us, and I think people are really just excited to be able to have those interactions with people and get back and have some sense of normality.
Cinema operators say they feel like their industry has been forgotten by the Victorian government. Eddie Tamir owns three cinemas in Melbourne and one in Sydney. He says he's yet to hear when his Melbourne venues can reopen.
There has been no, as far as we know as an industry, there's been no recorded cases in any cinemas around, in terms of transmission in any cinemas around the world. So that's, I guess, all we know. And I guess, in terms of the Victorian experience, it is interesting. I mean, obviously, we do feel like a forgotten industry at a level in Victoria. And it's all about, we hear the leaders talk about science and everything science-led, but we haven't heard what the science is behind keeping cinemas closed.
Mr. Tamir says his Sydney cinema, the Randwick Ritz, is able to operate at 50% capacity.
There are actually no caps on numbers, and it's all about the social distancing requirements. We can go up to 50% capacity of a cinema.
The Victorian government has announced owners and connections of horses running in next week's Melbourne Cup will not be allowed to attend Flemington. It says the Boxing Day cricket test will go ahead, with crowds of up to 25,000 allowed at the MCG, which can normally accommodate more than 100,000 spectators. But Racing Minister Martin Pakula says the Australian Open tennis in January is proving to be a logistical challenge, because it involves getting hundreds of players and their entourages to Australia to quarantine before the event. He says he's spoken to the tournament director to try to work out solutions, but the issue of opening up to spectators is not yet on the agenda.
So we're working with them on that, and at the same time we're talking to them about the possibility of some sort of crowds at the Open. But quite frankly, right now, getting those logistics in terms of getting people into Australia and into Melbourne is the focus of our conversations. The question of crowds will be something that we deal with a little bit later on.
Meanwhile, the premiers of New South Wales and Queensland are continuing to squabble about border closures. The Queensland government has promised to make an announcement on borders by Friday, just a day before the state election. Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk says she's simply following the advice of her chief health officer.
I have the courage to stand up for what is right. I have the courage to keep Queenslanders safe. And unfortunately, it's disappointing to see the New South Wales Premier try to be political at this time when she has enough of her own issues to deal with. This is simply a diversion from what is happening with herself.
And New South Wales had one new locally acquired case, a household contact of another case in southwest Sydney who'd been isolating before testing positive. The state is dealing with three coronavirus clusters in that region of Greater Sydney. And you can keep up to date on the coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Greg Dyatt, SBS News.